All right, Shabbosai, let's begin. Today's daf is Chav Zayin. I want to thank Yehuda Neuberger for giving this shiur yesterday. We're going to pick up on top of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. So the Gemara Shabbosai, second line, last two words on the line, V'savar Rabbi Yehuda. Shabbosai, remember again, we're discussing the really fascinating discussion about the ability for a kusi to go ahead and, or the truth is, I should say differently, the ability for anyone other than a Jew to be able to administer bris milah, and specifically focusing on the ability of the kusi as well as the akum. So again, remember, just once again to define our terms, the akum is the oved kochavim, someone ultimately again who is in worships idolatry. We've distinguished already between him and the min. The min yesterday, again, we saw, was somebody who not just worships idolatry, but someone who is aduk ba'avodah zarah. I guess there are recreational worshippers, and then there are more habitual worshippers. You know, even by the akum, you know, there are some people who are a bit more committed, some people are a bit more lax. You know, mefrumer, you know, not a shtark. So that's the, we'll get into that distinction in just a little while. And the kusi of Kras Abosai is the individual. The kusim are the nation who were resettled in the north of Eretz Yisrael by Shalmaneser, the king of Ashur. They are Gentiles. But there was an outbreak of lions in the north of Eretz Yisrael. They realized that this was a response to their idolatrous practices and they converted. The nature of their conversion is subject to incredible dispute. So what it comes down to with kusim is, if it's a kusim, don't accept Torah Shebaal Peh. So first off, again, they don't accept the verbal law, the oral tradition, right? But and when it comes to Torah Shebichsav, anything they keep very well. Anything they don't keep, they don't keep, right? So that's the kusim. So kusim, again, if you notice, are often the ability for a kusi to do something or to discharge someone else's obligation, a particular erev halacha, very often is mitzvah specific. You look at whether or not this is something that the kusim in general have accepted or not. So we'll say, now let's go. V'sav Rabbi Yehuda, kusi shabrit. I'm supposed to remember again on Amud Beis, there was a little bit of a discussion about the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. So does Rabbi Yehuda hold that a kusi is permitted to go ahead and give a bris milah to a Yisrael, and such a milah is kasher? V'atanya, we learned in a braisa, Yisrael malas a kusi. A Yisrael could administer, could give a bris milah to a kusi. The kusi lo yamul Yisrael. But a kusi is not permitted to go ahead and give a bris milah. Why not? Mipnei shemal l'shem har grizim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Because Abba say literally again, he goes ahead and the kusim were found to be worshipping some type of dove-like image on the top of Har Grizim. So because of that, again, we assume that when a kusi engages in some level of religious service, his intention is to do it for his idol on the top of Har Grizim. Therefore, a kusi cannot go ahead and administer a bris milah, because we're assuming he's not doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah of bris, but rather he's going ahead and doing it for a Zavodah Zarah. This is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Amar lo Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says, V'chi heichad matzino mila min haTorah l'shma. So Rabbi Yossi comes along and says something very interesting. He says, Meheichad teisei, from where do you know that mila has to be done l'shma? Meaning, who says? Perhaps mila is just a mechanistic mitzvah to remove the arla, to remove the foreskin. The intention behind it, the kavanas behind it, could be totally relevant. K'chi v'chi heichad matzino mila min haTorah l'shma. Ela mal v'holech ad sh'teitzei nishmasa. So we'll say this is an expression. Rather, Rabbi Yossi says, let the kusi administer mila literally until he drops dead. Which we'll say is another way just of saying, let him do mila after mila after mila, and there's absolutely no problem. Ela, so we'll say, so the problem is, we see Rabbi Huda on record saying what? We see Rabbi Huda on record saying that a kusi can't administer milah. On Amud Beis, we said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a kusi can administer bris milah. So what's happening over here? To which the Gemara says, Ela li olam efoch kida abchinon meikara. Rather, again, as the Gemara says, reverse the shitos as we had originally reversed them on Chavav Amud Beis. Udkakashi l'chad Rabbi Yehuda ad Rabbi Yehuda. People say, remember the first time, the reason we switched the shitos was because the Gemara posed a contradiction to the two shitos of Rabbi Yehuda. That's not a problem, I'll tell you why. Hahid Rabbi Yehuda hanosihi. People say there are two Rabbi Yehudas. There's Rabbi Yehuda stam, and there's Rabbi Yehuda hanosi. And those are two different opinions. Disanyo, Rabbi Yehuda hanosi omer. Rabbi Yehuda hanosi says as follows. Minayin l'mila v'ovid kochavim shipsula. But Rabbi Huda says, from where do you know, this is Rabbi Huda Hanasi, from where do you know that if an Akum administers Mila, that such a Mila is possible, Tamu Lomar, Va'ato, as Brisi Tishmar. Because we'll say the Pasuk says, and you shall guard the covenant of my Bris. So Rabbi Huda Hanasi is of the opinion that only a Jew could go ahead and administer Mila. This is Rabbi Huda Hanasi Shita. Based on the Pasuk, Va'ata es Brisi Tishmor, that the covenant of Bris Mila is something that is to be guarded, is something that is only to be administered by those who are part of the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Batav Zi Amrav Chista, my time is Rabbi Huda. So I'll say ultimately again, what's Rabbi Huda's logic? To Gemara says, Dechsev Lahashem Himo. Well, says, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. So the Gemara says, Lahashem Himo, Va'asa Pesach Lahashem Himo, V'darish Be Mila Lishma. So we'll say, listen to this. This is actually quite fascinating. So remember again, Rabbi Huda, we have now two different distinctions. Rabbi Huda Hanasi was the one who said, Va'atas Brisi Tishmar, essentially tells me that what? That only if you are obligated in the covenant of Bris, can you go ahead and give a bris mila to someone else? That's Rabbi Huda Hanasi. The shita of Rabbi Huda, as we're going to see, holds that a kusi is pasul, but an akum is kasher. This is quite fascinating. How could it be that a kusi is going to be pasul to give a mila, yet an akum will be kasher? I want to tell you something amazing. Look at Rashi, and there's an incredible musar in this Rashi. See Rashi la shem himo? See that Rashi? La shem himo? Va'asa Pesach LaHashem. So we'll say, so first of all, the way this pasuk reads, and we're going to see, Rabbi Huda is kind of splitting up this pasuk in an intriguing way. It's V'chi Yagor Itchager. V'chi Yagor Itchager, Va'asa Pesach LaHashem, Himol Lo Kol Zachar, Va'az Yikrav La'asoso. So literally what it means is, when there is a ger who will live with you, right, and he's going to do a Pesach LaHashem, Himol Lo Kol Zachar. Ultimately, again, every male must be circumcised. So see, Rabbi Huda dashes this pasuk a little bit differently. So he reads it, LaHashem Himo, which means that a mila must be done L'Shem Hashem. They're both saying, now watch this. This is a riveting Rashi. LaHashem Himo, Va'asa Pesach LaHashem Himo. Listen to this. The Darish Bey, Mila Lishma, Rabbi Huda, remember again, this is Rabbi Huda, not Rabbi Huda Nasi. Rabbi Huda Darshins, La Hashem Himo, teaches you what? That Bris Mila must be done what? Must be done what? La Hashem, must be done Lishma. Get ready for this. Get ready for this. He says, Hilchach, Kusi Pasal. So a Kusi can't administer a Mila, why not? Demal Shalo Lishma. Because also remember again, who does the kusi do the mila for? The shame what? The shame is avodah zarah har grizim. We'll say, watch this. Ava ovid kochavim lo mahil ella adaita di Yisrael. Sha'omer lo mahul v'hanu lishma. Rabbi say, get ready for this. Bombshell. Bombshell. Listen to this. Rabbi say, do the kusim observe bris mila? Yes. All right. It's in the Torah. The difference is that when a kusi does it, say his intention is for the avodah zarah. An akum doesn't have a mitzvah of bris mila. Therefore, Rabbi say, when the Yisrael tells him to give a bris mila, the Yisrael tells him, you're going to do this in order to fulfill our biblical dictate. And what's the das of the kusi? The das of the kusi is the das of the Yisrael. So Rabbi say, the kusi is das neutral. Why is he das neutral? Because he doesn't have this mitzvah. So whatever the Yisrael tells him is what he's going to do. The kusi has an obligation. I'm sorry, thank you. The Akum is das neutral. Why? Because the Akum does not have... paying attention, good. Right, so the Akum doesn't have this obligation. Therefore, again, whatever das the Yisrael tells him to have is the das he will have. And therefore, if he does the bris mila, it's fine. The kusi is obligated in the mitzvah. And therefore, again, he has his hashkafas with the mitzvah, that it's for the avodah zarah. Therefore, ultimately, if he does the bris mila, it's going to be possible. So we'll say, this is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. An akum is good, and a kusi is not good. We'll say, what's the musar? The musar is, no hashkafas are better than krum hashkafas. Right? No hashkafas are better than crooked hashkafas. See, Rabbi Yehuda say, at least if you have no hashkafas, You're open to hopefully finding the MS. If you have crooked hashkafas, if you have flawed life hashkafas, then I will say that taints everything. It's easier to work with the akum than it is to work with the kusi. Because the kusi is the tabla rasa, at least when it comes to inyani hashkaf and inyani mitzvahs. He has no shitas in it. The kusi is problematic because the kusi thinks he knows everything. The kusi thinks he's got it all figured out. The kusi has his crooked hashkafas, and those crooked hashkafas ultimately, again, seep into his maisa mitzvah. It's an incredible, incredible musar. Okay, Rabbi Yossi. We'll see what Rabbi Yossi says. So far we have two of the shitas down. We've got Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. We have Rabbi Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yossi say? Himol Yimol. We'll say that Rabbi Yossi dashes Himol Yimol. Rabbi Yossi, remember again, what's Rabbi Yossi's shita? Rabbi Yossi holds that the Mila is kasher even through these other individuals. Why? Because he holds Himol Yimol, Rashi says, is Ribu Yahu. We'll say, what's a Ribuy? Himol Yimol pretty much means Rabbi Yossi says, anyone can do Mila. I says the Gemara V'ida Chaksev La Hashem Himol. But what do the other opinions do with Rabbi Yehuda's shita of Hashem Himo, which Rabbi Yossi sounds like that Mila must be done for the sake of the mitzvah? Hahu bePesach Ksiv. They say, Rabbi Yehuda, that's a very nice try. The only problem is you are putting the punctuation of the verse in the wrong place. The La Hashem doesn't go on Himo. What does the Hashem go to, Rabbi Yossi? The La Hashem goes on Pesach. V'chi yager itcha ger va'asa Pesach La Hashem kama. Himol lo kol zachar. See, I must say, Rabbi Yehuda is like a little chassidish here. Rabbi Yehuda is taking away the punctuation, right? And what does he do? He places the comma after La Hashem Himol. Says the Gemara, that's not the way the punctuation works. It's va'asa pesach La Hashem comma Himol kol zachar. The La Hashem de Lishma is going on Pesach. It's not going on Bris Mila. To which the Gemara says, V'idach nam yaksev himo yimo. So I'll say, so what do the other opinions do? Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Huda and also do Rabbi Yossi's himo yimo. Dibra Torah kelashon b'nei Adam. They say that's not such a raya. Because they will say very often the Torah will employ a double lashon. That double lashon does not mean anything. That double lashon is just, we are actually tchashon. That doesn't mean anything. We understand that double lashon as Dibra Torah kelashon b'nei Adam. Which Rabbi say sometimes means the Torah just employs the normative verbiage reflecting the way people spoke. So again, people would often speak by repeating things. Himo yimol. That's where the Torah codifies it as well. Fine. So we'll say, so now we're still in the midst of this dramatic machlokes, ultimately, who is kasher to administer bismillah? So here we go. Itmar. Minayin. By the way, you understand, this is a dramatic shita because this is very halacha lemaisa. It's exceptionally halacha lemaisa in a variety of different situations. Could be halacha lemaisa, again, in a situation where a person doesn't have access to a moel. Could be halacha lemaisa in access where a child, nebuch, is hospitalized, and for whatever the reason, again, especially in today's litigious society, it used to be that it was much easier to get a moel into a hospital to perform bris mila. Today it's much more difficult. So again, these sugyas are exceptional. Not as much the kusi is not as much, but now the akum, we'll see who's defined as an akum. Itzmar, minayin l'mila b'avei kocham shipsula. Supposed to listen to this. So the Gemara begins by saying, where do we know that a mila by an Ovid Kochavim is possible? From where do we know that? So Daru Bar Papa Mishmei Derav Amar Va'ato Es Brisi Tishmar. So we'll say, Daru Bar Papa quotes the passage that we said before, Va'ato Es Brisi Tishmar. So we'll say, what does Va'ato Es Brisi Tishmar mean? It means that you shall guard my covenant, which Rabbi say means what? Means what? Now remember, the rest of the pasuk is, Ata V'Zar'acha Acharecha Ledoro sum. That ultimately, again, you and your children after you for generations, which indicates what Rabbi Yossi, that Bris Mila, because it is a mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael, can only be performed. The covenant must be guarded by Klal Yisrael, which means it can only be performed by Klal Yisrael. And I just point something out very interesting to you, which is, where do we learn the mitzvah of Bris Mila from? Where do we learn the mitzvah of Bris Mila from? No. We learn the mitzvah of Bris Mila from Parshas Tazria, where the pasuk says, "Ubayom hashmini imol b'sa'ar l'so." And the reason for that is very important. Principle of the Yerushalmi of Ein l'meidin davar mikol d'matan Torah. So you cannot learn binding mitzvos out from anything that occurred before a Sinaitic revelation. That's why the Torah goes and Dafka repeats almost all of the mitzvos, with a couple of exceptions. Gira Noshe is not repeated. Piri of Arivia, because it's a mankind mitzvah, not just the Jewish mitzvah, but in general, any mitzvos that we learn before Matan Torah are repeated again somewhere in the Torah after Matan Torah. The concept of Bris Mila comes from Avraham Avinu, but ultimately, again, the mitzvah of Bris Mila, as the binding obligation, comes Ubayom Hashmini Yimol B'sar Alasal Parshas Tazria. That being said, Even though the Ikar Mitzvah, we can't learn out of Ikar Mitzvah from anything that occurred before Matan Torah, we can learn out details. That's why once I have the Binding Mitzvah of Bris Milah and Parshas Tazviah, I can go back and look by Avraham Avinu and see different details that help to shape the form of the mitzvah. So over here, Dara Bar Papa is saying, okay, I learned the Ikar Mitzvah Parshas Tazviah, but how do I know that an Ovid Kochavim can't perform a milah? Oh, that we can see by Avraham Avinu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Avraham Avinu, dafka, this is a mitzvah given to you and to your offspring, which indicates Bris Milah could only be performed by a Jew. Rabbi Yochanan, Himol Yimol. We'll say Rabbi Yochanan learns it out from Himol Yimol. Rashi says, Rabbi Yochanan, and I remember again, I want to point out something dramatically amazing. It's going to be a good week. You know, when you start with a Gemara like this, that is just so overwhelming, and it's only Sunday morning. Fasten your seatbelt. Who knows mamish what's going to be? So Rabbi Yochanan, listen to this. Remember, Rabbi Yossi understood Himol Yimol meant what? Rabbi Yossi dashed Himol Yimol meant what, Rabbi Yochanan? Anybody. Watch this. Rabbi Yochanan is saying no. Rabbi Yochanan is saying himo yimo. Look at Rashi. Himo yimo. Kari bei hamal yimo. Mishuhu mohul yimo achirim. This is amazing. Rabbi Yochanan says himo yimo. It's to be vocalized as hamal yumal. He who is circumcised can go ahead and be mal someone else. So we'll say same phrase, which Rabbi Yossi learns to mean to be an incredibly inclusive phrase that says anyone could go ahead and administer Bris Milah. Rabbi Yochanan says no means a limiting phrase of himo yimo hamal yumal. He who is circumcised can in fact administer Bris Milah to others. So we'll say, so here's the interesting part. So both ultimately again are agreeing bottom line. So you have again Darubar Papa saying Va'atas Brisi Tishmar, which tells us that the descendants that only Klal Yisrael could go ahead and administer Bismillah. Rabbi Yochanan is saying the same thing, Himo Yimo, Hamal Yumal, he who is circumcised could be the one who does Bismillah. So both say they seem to be saying the same thing. May Benet, what's the practical difference? Oh, watch this. Aravi Maho, Vigivnuni Maho. Ooh, we'll say, what about this? Our cousins, right? What about an Arab who is circumcised, right? Because Bnei Yishmael also did Milah, or a Givnuni Mahu. So we'll say, Givnuni, Rashi says, is Uma Muhula, was another nation, the Givnunim also, again, who went ahead and did Bris Milah. So we'll say, so watch this. So these are people who observe the mitzvah of Bris Milah. So watch this. So, Aravi Mahu, Vigavnuni Mahu, Ikebenei, get ready. Mando Amar, Himo Yimol, which we vocalize how, Hamal Yumal, that in order to go ahead and do the mitzvah Bris Milah for someone else, you have to what? You have to be circumcised yourself. Ika, the Rebbe say, these people, the Aravi and the Gavnuni, can what? Are permitted to do Bris Milah. Why? Why? Because Rebbe say, again, they're circumcised. If that's the criteria, Hamal Yumal, that he who is circumcised can circumcise others, then by definition, the Aravi Mahol and the Gavnuni have the ability to go ahead and administer Bris Milah. Uman Domres Brisi Tishmar Leka. Rebbe say, according to the opinion who holds that no, it's the drasha of as Brisi Tishmar, it's not just the dinin being physically circumcised. What is it, a dinin? It's a dinin being bound by the mitzvah of Avraham Avinu. So we'll say, and again, even though Yishmael is the son of Avraham Avinu, also this pasuk is referring to Avraham Avinu's Klal Yisrael descendants, not referring to his Yishmael descendants. So that'll be the nafkamina. I have a hotnan, but one second, we learned, Rebbe say, this is actually amazing. Konam she'ini nana min arelim. Rebbe say, listen to this. Let's say I make a nether. What's my nether? I make a konam, right? Well, say konam is a lashon of iser. Konam sheini nana min arelim. I make a nether, a konam, that I'm not going to benefit from anyone who is an orel. I'm not going to benefit from uncircumcised people. So we'll say, so again, who does that nether apply to? So the Gemara says, mutar ba'ar le Yisrael, va'aser b'mule ovdei kochavim. So Rabbi say, I am permitted to derive benefit ultimately again, even from uncircumcised Jews, but not permitted to get benefit ultimately again from circumcised Ovdei Kochavim. What do you see from here? Alma, Afagav de Mahili, Kiman de lo Mahili dom. Rabbi say, what do you see from this? You see from this that the designation of an Orel and the designation of a Moho Rabosai is not just a designation that is reflective of a physical reality, but rather, again, is reflective ultimately, again, of a national identity. A Jew, even if ultimately, again, he is not circumcised, is called a Moho. An Akum, even if he is circumcised, is what? Is called an Orel. So we'll say, if that's the case, then how can you say the Aravi Mahol and the Givnuni Mahol will be the Nafkamina between the two Shitos expressed before? Ela Ikeben, I rather, again, what's the Nafkamina, Rabosai, between Rabbi Yochanan and Daru Bar Papa? Remember again, Daru Bar Papa ultimately telling us, Va'ates Bisi Tishmar, and Rabbi Yochanan telling me, Himo Yimo, Hamal Yomol. So what is the Nafkamina? Ikebenehu, Yisrael Shemesu Echav Machmas Mila Velomador. Rabosai, this is fascinating. This is the case of Yisrael who is uncircumcised. Rabosai, why is he uncircumcised? Because his brothers before him died, ultimately, again, of bris milah, which Rabbi say today we would probably identify as hemophilia, right? So his brothers died as a result of bris milah, and therefore, again, he is uncircumcised. That halacha says, do not circumcise him. Mesu achav machmas milah. If his brothers died as a result of bris milah, we do not circumcise him. So the Gemara says, watch this. So the interesting question, of course, becomes, is what is this individual's status? In other words, let's say you have this guy who is physically uncircumcised, but he has a halachic license to be uncircumcised. So the shaila is, can he go ahead and give a bris milah to someone else? So lamando amar va'atas brisi tishmar ika. So we'll say, according to the opinion who says that va'atas brisi tishmar, that I will say, if you are included in the covenant of bris, you can give a bris to someone else. So we'll say, this individual can give a bris. Why? Because he is included in the covenant, it's just that he has a halachic exemption. However, leman domer himol yimol leka. Rabbi says, according to the man domer, it says himol yimol, which means what? Hamal yumal, which we translate as meaning, he who is circumcised can circumcise others. This individual can't give a bris. Why, Rabbi says? Why? Because at the end of the day, as much as he has a license to remain uncircumcised, nevertheless, lemaisa what? He's uncircumcised, and therefore, by definition, he can't give bris milah to someone else. Is that true, says the Gemara? Well, leman damar himo yimo leka. Is that true that according to the man damar, Rabbi Yochanan, who darshins himo yimo, which we vocalize as hamal yumal, he who is circumcised can circumcise someone else. Is that true that this individual who is uncircumcised because mesu acha echav machmas milah can't give a bris to someone else? Vahatnan, we learned, koneim sha'ani nana mimulim. We'll say, if a person says, I hereby make a neder that I'm not going to get any benefit from anyone who is circumcised. Aser ba'arle Yisrael. So we'll say, he is aser still to get benefit from even uncircumcised Jews. Umutar b'mole ovdei kochavim. But he is permitted to get benefit even from those were circumcised. Akum. So Rabbi, what do you see from here? Same principle as we saw before, which Rabbi say, the designation of an Orel versus someone who is Mal is a national definition. A Yisrael is always considered to be someone who is Nimol, even if what? Even if physically he doesn't actually have the bris milah. Whereas an Akum, even if he has a physical bris milah, still what Rabbi say, considered to be an Orel. So if that's the case, then even in the guy who is Mesu Achav Machmas Milah, and therefore he is uncircumcised, he should still be able to give a bris to someone else, because he should be covered under the himol yimol, hamal yumal, even though meaning he's not physically circumcised, because he's betoras bris milah, he should be permitted to give the bris. Ama afgav delo mihili, kiman de mihili damu. So what do you see from here? Even though he is not physically circumcised, it's as if he is. And if that's the case, even if he's uncircumcised, because mesu achav machmas milah, he should still be permitted to what? To give a bris milah to someone else. Ella, Rabbi say, here we go. Ika b'na, Rabbi say, here's the nafkamina between Rabbi Dar Bar Papa and Rabbi Yochanan. What's the nafkamina, Rabbi say? Isha. Can a woman administer a bris milah? So watch this. Lamanda Amar, Va'atas Brisi Tishmar. So according to the opinion, who learns that from the pasuk, Va'atas Brisi Tishmar, you shall guard my covenant, Suleka. So Rabbi say, what that pasuk teaches us is what Rabbi say. Anyone who was included in the covenant, ultimately, again, has the ability to give a bris milah. If you're not included in the covenant, then by definition, you can't be mal someone else. A woman obviously is not included in the covenant, and therefore, again, she cannot give a bris milah. Di isha lav bas milhi. Uleman Rabbo say, now this is riveting. Uleman Damar himo yimo. Rabbo say, the one who says himo yimo, which we vocalize as how? As how? Hamal yumal. He who is circumcised, ultimately, again, can circumcise someone else. Ika was according to that drasha, a woman can give a bris milah. Why? De isha kiman de mehila damya, because a woman is like someone who is circumcised. I will say. So what does that mean? What does that mean? So we'll say this is actually quite interesting. It can mean a couple of things. It can mean that ultimately, again, at the end of the day, we'll say, what's the function of bris milah? What's the right to remove the arla? A woman doesn't have an arla. So you could say, meaning de facto, she is like someone who is nimol. Or Rebbe will say, what it means is that since she doesn't have the mitzvah, by definition, it's as if she has that status already. So we'll say, either way, the Gemara is pointing out to her, which is really quite a fascinating drasha. So if you hold that it's a din, that it was, so we'll say, va'atras brisi tishmor means, if you're included in the mitzvah, then you could perform the mitzvah on someone else. But if you're not included in the mitzvah, you can't perform the mitzvah. So woman is not included in the mitzvah. Therefore, she can't do it. But if you hold himol yimol, the Rebbe will say, he who is circumcised can circumcise someone else. So an isha is effectively considered as if she is nimol. Therefore, by definition, she could go ahead and perform the mitzvah on someone else. To which the Gemara says, watch this. We'll say, first wide line, umi'ika leman damar ishalo. One second. Is there anyone who holds that a woman can't perform a bris milah? Meaning we have biblical precedent that a woman can perform a bris milah. We'll say, what's the biblical precedent? V'haksiv. V'haksiv. V'atikach tziporet tsar. Right, sorry, excuse me. It was ultimately again, we know the very enigmatic episode, Vahiba Derech Bamalon, Vaiv Keshir Malach Alokim, Vaiv Akesh Lamiso, Moshe Tzipora and their two sons are on their way down to Egypt. They had not yet circumcised the baby for a whole variety of different reasons. And what happens? It's a famous episode. Moshe Rabbeinu is about to die. Tzipora takes the sharpened stone, Vatichras Es Arlas Bina, and she removes the foreskin of her son. So we see from here that what? That there is biblical precedent, ultimately again, for a woman performing bris milah. So the Gemara says, Karibay Vatakach. We'll say, it doesn't have to be vocalized as vatikach, it could be read as vatakach. Rabbi say, vatakach means what? She caused to be taken. Which means, Rabbi say, means maybe she didn't do it herself. Maybe at the end of the day, again, there was someone else who performed this on her behalf. I v'haksi vatichros. But it says that she cut off, she removed the arla. Karibay vatikaras, or vatikares. Which Rabbi say, again, she caused it to be removed. Perhaps she asked someone else to do it, and they did it on her behalf. The possibility is, she began the milah, and Moshe Benu came along and what? Finished it off. So we'll say, so what the point the Gemara is just making over here is, that it's not, again, as much as the simple reading, the simple pshat, ultimately is that Tzipora performed the mitzvah of milah. The point the Gemara is making over here is that pasuk could be read in ways which don't necessarily indicate that reality. Perhaps, again, either she started it, Moshe Rabbeinu finished it, or for that matter, again, maybe someone else was there that ultimately, again, she commanded to perform the milah, and the milah was done that way. So we'll say, so bottom line, halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? How do we paskin? Halacha l'maisa in terms of who is permitted to go out and do milah? Rabbi says, listen to this. This is the Shulchan Aruch in Yaradeya, Simin Reish Samech Dalit Sif Aleph. Get ready for this. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Hakol Ksherim Lamo. We'll say, everyone is kosher to go ahead and give bris milah. Afilu Eved, Isha, V'Katan, V'Arel Yisrael, Shemesu Echav Machmas Milah. So we'll say, pretty much, anyone could do bris milah, right? And Eved, Rabbi say Eved Isha, remember again, so really the order should have, not the order should have been, but again, normally in Halacha we see Isha first, whatever an Isha could do, an Eved Kenani can usually do the same thing as well, because he has obligations and mitzvahs like an Isha. So an Isha, an Eved, a katan, which is quite dramatic. Arel Yisrael Shemesu Acha Machamas Mila. That's our case that we just read before. That even if someone is uncircumcised, but he has a license to be uncircumcised, because his brothers, that is a result of Mila, could all do it. However, Shulchan Aruch does qualify this. V'meish Yisrael Gadol Sheodea Lamo. But obviously, we'll say, if you have just a Yisrael Gadol, meaning a regular Jew, who is circumcised himself, who knows how to do Bris Mila, who called them Lakulam. Obviously, again, if he's there, better to have him do the Mila. Now the Ramah comments, and he quotes the Smak and Agos Mordechai, the Yesh Omrim, the Isha Lo Samo. There are those who say, Yesh Omrim, who says that a woman should not give Bris Mila. And I will say, the reason that a woman should not give Bris Mila is because, unlike the other individuals in this list, a woman is not in the Parsha of Bris Mila. So therefore the Ramah says, L'chatchila, again, it is better for a woman not to do Bris Mila, because she's not in the Parsha. And the Ramah says, V'chinogin lahadir acharish. And therefore again, the Ramah says, I'm okay with Eved, Katan, Ar Yisrael, because they're all in the Parsha. A woman who is not in the Parsha, L'chatchila, it is better not to have her do it. However, again, I will say, that's L'chatchila. But at the end of the day, if the woman is the only one who is there who knows how to administer Bris Mila, even a woman can administer Bismillah. However, aval oved kochavim, afilu hu mahu, but I will say in akum, even if the akum ultimately again is mahul, even if the akum ultimately again is circumcised, lo yomu klal, I will say, however, what if he did? Here's the interesting case. The imal, what happens if the akum did administer a bris for a Jew? What's the halacha? Ein tzarech lachzor v'lamo pam shenis. Rabbosai, you do not have to do another Bris Mila. Which Rabbosai, now, where does this come up all the time? Oh, all the time. This Rabbosai, come up, for Geirus, let's say you have a situation of someone who just didn't grow up from. So let's say, again, they had a circumcision, but the circumcision was done in the hospital by a non-Jewish doctor. So say, so what is that? So the Mechaber says, so if you're a Sephardic Jew, you're in luck. Why? Because the Mechaber says, there is no follow-up necessary as long as it was a real Mila. In other words, as long as the circumcision conformed to the halachos that we have as Bris Mila. The Ramah comes along and says, no. He says, V'yesh Omrim, Dechayobim Lachzor Ulahatef Mimenu Dam Bris, V'chein Iker. So the Ramah says over here, that I will say, even though again you don't have to do another circumcision, which is obvious because there's nothing to circumcise, but what you have to do is what we call hatafas dam bris. And I will say you do a little prick, and ultimately a little poke, and that draws blood, and ultimately again I will say that's what's called hatafas dam bris. So I will say that's how we paskin halacha lemaisa, that if someone had a bris mila that was done, I will say the Ramah then goes on to speak about again a mummer. What happens if it's done by a mummer Yisrael, which is a bit more of a complicated topic. But again, when in doubt, I will say what we do is pretty much, if Bris Mila was done by someone other than a frum Jew, then ultimately, again, I will say, just in order to satisfy all the opinions, we'll just draw a little bit of blood from the Makom Mila, what we call Atafas Dam Bris, and that ultimately, again, is Machshir, the entire Mila as well. So we'll say, that is indeed the Halach Lamai, says codified in the Shulchan Aruch. Incredible. Says the Mishnah. We will say, it's Kavaiter. Misrapin Bahen, Ripoy Ma, one of our low Ripoy Nefasha. So we'll say now, again, more details about things you could do with an Akum. You could be healed by an akum. Ripoy mamon, avalo ripoy nefashos. We'll have to define what these terms mean in the Gemara. Morachat Adonai Eloheinu melech olam shakol nihyeh b'dvaro. So you can go ahead and get what's called ripoy mamon, but not ripoy nefashos from the akum. Furthermore, vein mistapir man b'chom akum. I will say you cannot go to an akum barber. And it doesn't matter where the barber is situated. Even if the barber ultimately, again, Rashi points out, even if the barber sets up shop in a very public place, what's the issue over here, Rashi says? Rashi says over here, the issue over here is, afilu b'shvilei b'shus harabim, sh'ovrim sham tadir, shem yichtach tzavaro b'ta'ar. We'll say, what did a barber use? A barber used a razor. So again, the Chazal said, don't go to an Akum with a razor. Don't put yourself in a chair with an Akum with a razor. It doesn't end well. Right? They will say, so again, we're mamish concerned. And again, I will say, I just want to point out, these are realities that the Jews are dealing with. So you don't put yourself in a seat, in a chair with an Akum with a razor out of concern that maybe he's going to kill you. Shavuot say therefore again about they misav mem bechom machiv d'rabbi Meir. Bechom say b'rishus rabbi mutter aval lo beino lebeino. Shavuot say chachamim disagree. They say as long as the akum barber is operating in a public place, it's okay. You can go to him, but do not go to if he offers you a private haircut, say thanks but no thanks. Says the Gemara. Let's define our terms. So my ripui mamon and my ripui nefashos. So I'll say the Mishnah told me that I can get ripui mamon, which I'll say literally means financial healing, right? Or heal, right? Healing from mamon I can get from the akum, but not ripui nefashos. So what does this mean? So it says Gemara ilema ripui mamon bischar ripui nefashos bechinam. So I'll say if you say maybe ripui mamon means that if you pay for the akum doctor, then you could get healed by him. But if he offers you his services for free, then you may not get healed from him. We'll say, what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Ripui nefashos bechinam, kilomar me'atzmo uminafshahu osa, or bischar lo katol dechayish lefsei dagra. So let's listen to this. If the akum doctor charges for his services, so we'll say, this is his parnasa. You could assume that's what? That he's going to treat you appropriately. Why? Because he doesn't want to lose his parnasa. If, however, again, this is not his parnasa and he's just offering you a favor, you should say no thank you to the favor. So says the Gemara, if that's the case, let the Gemara say that. Let's say you could go to an akum doctor when he charges you for his services, but you may not go to him when he's offering you the services for free. So therefore, that can't be the definition. Elo, ripoy mamon, davar she'en bo sakana. Ripoy nefashos, davar she'esh bo sakana. So maybe what it means is as follows. Ripoy mamon means you can go to the akum to treat you for a non-life-threatening ailment, but you cannot go to the akum to treat you for a life-threatening ailment. I have Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, "Afilu rivda de kusilta lo masinon minayu." Rav Yehuda said, "Rivda de kusilta means even the puncture of the blood letters needle." Rav Yehuda says, "No, they're saying don't go to the akum for anything, even something as simple as puncturing you a little bit for some blood letting. Don't go to me for that." Elo ripoy mamon behemto ripoy nefashas gufei. Oh, so maybe what it means is as follows. Ripoy mama means you can go to the akum to atrabosai. You go down to treat your animals. Right? So you could use an akum as your veterinarian, but you cannot use an akum as your general doctor. This is backed up by the sister Rabbi Yehuda, who says, "Afilu rivda de kusilta lo masinan minayu." This is Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot go to the akum even to do bloodletting. Amar Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda said, "Rabosai, Amar Aramar Okva." So interestingly enough, the way the Gemara seems to paskin is like this second approach. That ripoy mamon, Rabosei, means that what? Ripoy mamon means davar she'en bo sakana. So you can go to the akum doctor to be treated for a non-life-threatening situation, but you cannot go to the akum doctor ultimately again to be treated for a life-threatening situation. That comes along, the Gemara qualifies this, and the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Ukva, Avalim Amar Lo, Sam Ploni Yafelo, Sam Ploni Ralo. But Rabosei, if however again, however, if again, I go to the akum doctor, and the akum doctor says, "Saplodiafalo, you know, I recommend this medication. This medication will be good for you. This medication will be bad for you. Mutter." You both say, it is permitted to heed that advice. Why? Amadeiz. Why? Savar, shayule mashilo. Because you both say, the akum assumes that what am I doing? I'm asking around. I'm asking for opinions. Ki echi de mashilo mashili in a shachrino. And this akum assumes that, Dr. Bosai, the same way that I'm asking the akum doctor's opinion, I'm going to be asking what? Other physicians' opinion. I'm going to go for a second opinion. Always good to go for a second opinion. Va'asa ugavra la urinafshe. And Rabbi Bosai, because the akum knows that what? That I'm going to be asking for other opinions, he's not going to give me detrimental advice. Why? Because if he's giving me detrimental advice, then what? Then he's going to be discovered, and ultimately, again, he will lose his medical credibility. So therefore, Rabbi Bosai, the Gemara says over here, even though, again, under normal circumstances, I can't go to an akum for sakanas nefashos de cases, but if he gives me advice, or if I ask, I can ask him advice. Why? Because when it ever comes to asking for advice, Then what? The same way the Akum says, I'm asking him, he also presumes he's going to be asking other people. And I will say again, there's a general principle of Umma Lomar Nafshe. If a person does something, especially for his Parnasa, he's not going to want to risk his personal reputation by dispensing bad advice. So the Gemara goes right to Amr Rav Chisda Amr Rav Yochanan. This is a fascinating discussion. Safek Chai Safek Meis. Again, this goes back to what we said before. If the condition that a person is suffering from is one in which there's a possibility, look at Rashi actually, third line from the top, Safik Chai, Safik Meis, Choli, Shimlo Yirapenu Rofe, Safik Yichya, Safik Yomus, Eim Misrapin Mehento, Ovid Kochamem Vadai Kotele, Umutov Shianiach Ula Yichya. So we'll say, watch this. So Rabbi Yochanan says the following. If a person, we'll call him Ruvain, has a situation of Safek Chai, Safek Meis. So we'll say he's in a life, which means a life and death situation. He may live, he may die. What's the halacha? We'll say that's a case where you cannot seek out the medical attention, or you can't seek out healing from an Akum physician. Akum physician, why, Rabbi Osai? Because at the end of the day, we assume that the Ovid Kochavim is going to kill him. And therefore, again, Rabbi Osai, what? Better to go ahead and, you know, play your chances with this. Right? However, again, Suffolk, however, Vadai Meis, Misrapin Man. We'll say, what does Vadai Meis mean? Vadai Meis means if your situation is absolutely terminal, then what? You might as well seek out the help of the Akum. Why? Can't hurt, right? You've got nothing to lose. You're going to die anyway. You got nothing to lose. So we'll say, Safek Chai, Safek Meis, what we say is, listen, there's a possibility that you'll live. Better not to compromise that possibility by seeking treatment with the Akum. But if it's Vadai Meis, so we'll say, what Vadai Meis is, your situation is terminal. The person is going to die. So if I'm going to die anyway, so the mice again is nothing, I lose nothing by seeking out the attention, the medical attention of the Akum. Well, I mean, I'm going to die anyway from this condition. The Akum is not going to give me a worse outcome. I, but one second, says, Vahika Chayisha, but say it's not true. What about Chayisha? I will say now, what Chayisha means is as follows. Chayisha means, I will say, what about the fact that the Akum may hasten my death? In other words, it's true that I may have a condition that I'm definitely going to die from. I will say, Chayisha means there are still moments of life. So if I go to the Akum, I could what? I could lose those moments. In other words, the Akum may hasten the death, may hasten my death, and I may lose out on those precious moments. Like, look at Rashi, what's it? Chayisha, Shavikochalim ma maher lahamiso, v'shema yom o yamayim yichya. We'll say, in other words, if I do nothing, I may have some time. If I go, now again, time may only be a day or two. If I go to the Akum, he may even deprive me of my Chayisha, of my day or two to live. To which Rabbi said, the Gemara says something very amazing. L'chayisha lo chayshinan. Rabbi said, now what does it mean, l'chayisha lo chayshinan? Literally, again, to momentary life, we're not choshish. Rabbi said, what that means is that in this type of situation, where we're deciding between chayishan, going to the Akum doctor, you know what? We're willing to risk your chayisha for the possibility that the Akum doctor may ultimately treat you properly and may actually be able to give you additional life as well. From where do we see that for Chayisha we're not choshish? Rabbi, now this, by the way, is a very profound discussion. Because Rabbi say in halacha, you know, this comes up, this question comes up all the time in halacha. When it comes to someone who is suffering from a terminal illness, and let's say again they are told by their physician, right, that what? There is this procedure, or there is this thing that we can do. Now, here is the balance. If it's successful, it can prolong your life. If it's unsuccessful, you'll die on the table. So we'll say, so we weigh what we call chai olam versus chai sha. Chai sha means if we don't do anything to this person, we know he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 days a week, 3 weeks, whatever it is to live. That's called chai sha. Chai olam, we'll say, means that if we administer this procedure, a person can have a much longer life. There is always this tension between Chayisha and Chaye Olam. We'll say, so now what the Gemara is saying over here is as follows. We'll call him Ruvain. Ruvain has a terminal condition. If left untreated, what's going to happen? Let's assume he's going to live a week. That's his Chayisha. If we let the Akum treat him, he could live 6 months. So we'll say, so what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, ultimately, again, the Gemara says that what we do is, when it comes to the Akum, we go ahead and we don't worry about his Chayishara, we let the Akum treat him. So I say, so where do we see this concept that's not Choshesh for Chayishara? Well, I say, so take a look, Taptosis also discusses this a little bit, we're not going to get into it right now. Mefakhin, I love as Hagal. So I say, so says the Gemara as follows. So from where do we know that ultimately, we're not choshish for chayisha? So we'll say the Gemara says something very interesting. Dichsev im amarnu novo ha'ir va'rav ba'ir va'masnu sham. We'll say, listen to this. Where do we know this from? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says im amarnu novo ha'ir ba'arba anoshim mitzrayim. We'll say, so this is talking about the four lepers in Sefer Melachim. We'll say, who are the four lepers in Sefer Melachim? It's Gehazi and his three sons. Remember again, Gehazi has the whole falling out with Elisha, right? Remember again, he goes in and he takes the riches from Naaman, right? Elisha goes in and cures Naaman from his saras. Naaman wants to repay Elisha. Elisha says, no, thank you. Gehazi runs after him, says, my master changed his mind. He wants the riches. Gehazi stores away the riches. And what happens again? He's stricken with saras. So we'll say Gehazi and his sons are all become lepers. And what happens? We'll say they're sitting on the outskirts of the city. Lepers on the outskirts of the city. They're about to die. Remember again, let's say there's rampant starvation everywhere. Everywhere. Remember again, there's an incredible starvation. There's a drought that's happening. So one day, Gehazi and his son say to each other, listen, we're going to die sitting here anywhere. Anyway, there's an Aramean encampment not far. Let's go there and let's what? Let's see if we can scavenge for some food. Jews are going to walk into the Aramean encampment. So Gehazi and his son say to each other, what's the big deal? Because what are our options? Option number one is? Die here. Option number two is? Die there. Okay, so you know what? At least option number two comes with the possibility that maybe, just maybe there's no food inside the Jewish city. Maybe there'll be some food in the Aramean encampment. So I said, what do you see from here? That they were willing to go ahead and what? Go to the Aramean encampment, even though it was possible that they die even faster than they would, because the Arameans might kill them right then and there. But yet we see from here that they were willing to play with their Chayisha. So we see the Chayisha lo Chayishinon. Ayavika Chayisha, and the love of the Chayisha lo Chayishinon. So I say, what do you see from here? The fact that Gehazi and his sons were willing to go to the city, gambling with their Chayisha, for some possibility that they might find some food, tells us, Rabbi said, that's what? We're not choshesh for Chayisha. Some may say, the Gemara raised the Kasha. To which the Gemara says, Meisvei, lo yisav v'yitin adam im haminon. Notice that it's very interesting. A person should not, we'll say, usually yisav v'yitan usually refers to business dealings. In this context, what it means is, a person should not have any involvement with minin. Now, we'll say, who are minin? Who are minin versus an akum? So we'll say, a min, remember, as you saw on Chavav Amad Beis, is someone who is aduk ba'avodah zara. But what does it mean to be aduk ba'avodah zara? Not only does he worship, but what does he do, Rabbi Osai? He proselytizes. So the Ovei Kochavim, he's good in his stuff, and he even dislikes Jews, as we've seen before. But what? He's not really trying to convert anyone. The min is someone who's actively trying to proselytize. Therefore, a person should really have nothing to do with the minin. And I will say, ultimately, again, is a dramatic Gemara. You should not be healed from them. In other words, you shouldn't take any type of medicinal healing from them. I will say, even what? Even for Chayisha. Even if they hold the key to prolonging life for just a little bit. Sigmar tells a dramatic Maisa. Maisa ben Dama ben Achoso Shabishmo Shekisho Nachosh. But I said there was an episode with Ben Dama. Ben Dama was the son of the sister Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. Right? So what's Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol? Who was one of the Asarugi Malchus. So Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol had a nephew. His nephew was a young man by the name of Ben Dama. Now, Rabbi said, interestingly enough, in general, when somebody is known as Ben Dama, what does that tell you? They're young. Right? They will say, again, that's why Ben Zoma, all these individuals we know historically died young. Ben Bava, Ben Bud, right? All these, right, we've seen in Pirkei Avos. So when they were young, they were just known by their father's name. So he has a young nephew by the name of Ben Dama. And what happens? He was bitten by a snake. Oba Yaakov, ish kfar sachanya l'raposo. And Rabbi say, Yaakov, this guy kfar sachanya, Rabbi say, who was a known min. We learned about him before. Known min. He was right. He was a known min. Came to heal Dama. Ben Dama, excuse me. Though he nichu Rabbi Yishmael, and Rabbi Yishmael would not allow Yaakov, this min, to go ahead and heal his nephew. Va'amrali Rabbi Yishmael achi, and I will say, listen to this. Ben Dama said, Rabbi Yishmael, my brother. So he was referring to his uncle as his brother. Hanach lo ve'erpa mimenu. Please, let him heal me. Vani avi mikra min haTorah shehu mutter. And I will bring you a proof from the Torah that it is mutter. Below hispik ligmor as hadavar, ach yatsa nishmaso. We'll say Ben Dama didn't even get to finish his sentence, meaning he didn't get to bring his raya before he died. Umeis, Karl of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael said about his nephew, Ashrecha Ben Dama. Praiseworthy are you, Ben Dama. Shegufeich tar, v'yatsa nishmascha b'tara. You were tar during your lifetime, and your soul left your body in a state of tara. We'll say why. What was Ben Dama's last word? Mutter. Mutter, I will say. So remember again, mutter, tahor are synonymous words, are synonyms. So therefore again, Rabbi Yishmael said about his nephew, you lived the life of tara, and literally again, your soul left your body in a state of tara. So your last word was mutter. V'lo avarta adivrei chaverecha. And you did not violate the words of your rabbinic fellow. Shayu omrim, because once again, remember, Chazal said that you should not accept anything from a min. Medicinal healing, you shouldn't accept from a min or anything else. Right? Rabbi said, because why? And if you violate the words of Chazal, then ultimately, again, he who breaches the fence of rabbinic rulings, ultimately, again, will be bitten by a snake. Now, I will say now, ironically, they're applying this statement to where? Right? To a case of Ben Dama, who was what? Bitten by a snake. So we'll discuss that probably in tomorrow's daf a little bit more. So the Gemara says as follows. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that Lamayasi, even for Chayisha, we will not rely on an Akum. To which the Gemara says, no, this is not a case of an Akum. Shiny Minos. So we'll say, this is a case of a Min. And a Min is different. Why? Demashcha da'asi lemimshach basrahu. So we'll say, Minim are different. Because Rabbi Yosef Minim, not only do they subscribe to an alien ideology, but what? They actively try to recruit others to follow them. Had Yaakov Ish Kfar Sachanya been successful in healing Ben Dama, then what? He would have used that ultimately again as a proof to be able to lure many others to follow after him in idolatrous ways. Therefore, Rabbi Shmuel, and we'll see there's another reason over here as well, Rabbi Shmuel made the call ultimately again to not allow healing to occur. Amar Mar, I don't understand. What does this mean? Ben Dama himself was bitten by a snake. So let's be honest over here. What would have been the big deal if he would have violated the words of the rabbis? He's going to get bitten by another snake, or he was already bitten by a snake. To which the Gemara says, "Chavi d'rabban and the less they asu zaklal." He would have been bitten by the snake, Rabbi, which of course is a metaphor. The ultimately, again, being bitten by the snake for those who violate rabbinic dictums, Rabbi, has no cure at all. Umay chavi le'lemeimar. So Rabbi just out of curiosity, what was Ben Dama going to say to his uncle? In other words, Rabbi, Ben Dama clearly felt that it was mutter to allow Yaakov Ish Kfar Sachanya to administer healing to him. So he never got a chance to say it because he died after he said the word mutter. But what would he have said? What was going to be his raya? Umay havele lemeimar, v'chai bohem, v'lo sheyamos bohem. So we'll say, interestingly enough, so Ben Dama's raya, we'll say, would have been the Torah says, v'chai bohem. You're supposed to live through the statutes of the Torah. Below Shiyamuspan, you shouldn't die. In other words, that Rabbi Yosai, for saving of a life, the Torah allows everything. Ben Dama felt, including what? Including being treated ultimately again by this individual, Yaakov Ish Kfar Sachanya, who was a min. So Rabbi Yosai, so Rabbi Shmuel knows this Rosh Hashanah. What would Rabbi Shmuel have countered? Rabbi Shmuel, Hani Mili Bitsina, Aval Befarhes Yalo. That is true, Rabbi Yosai, that you can heal yourself even with, and this is amazing by the way, even with Minos and even with Avodah Zarah, but Rabbi Yosai, that's only in private, not in public. Why? Rabbi Yosai, listen to this. Rabbi Yosai, get ready for this. This is going to be one of the most dramatic shittas you've ever heard. Are you ready? You ready? Good, okay? Good. Baruch Hashem. Tisanya, Hay Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Yosai, Hay Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shmuel said, Minayin shim omim lo la'adam avod avodas kochav va'al tehareg. Sheya'avod va'al yehareg. Rabbi Yosai, this is Shitas Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, how do I know that if somebody tells me, worship avodah zarah, or I'll kill you, that what? That I should worship Avodah Zarah and not be killed. Ya'avod v'ayeharik Talmud lomar v'chai bohem v'lo sheyamos bohem. Rabbosai, get ready for this. Rabbi Shmuel Shiti Rabbosai, is that what? Even Avodah Zarah is Ya'avor v'al yeharik. This is Shita, Rabbosai. Now, obviously, we reject the Shita, but Rabbi Shmuel Shita is that even by Avodah Zarah, it is Ya'avor v'al yeharik. Better to worship idolatry and not be killed. Talmud Lom, so Gemara says, Yochal afilu b'farhesya, Rabbi Shmuel qualifies it. Rabbosai, that's what? That's only Bitsina. That's only privately. You might have thought that this is even true publicly, where there's an element, ultimately, again, of Chilul Hashem. Talmud Lomar, V'lo sechalalu eshem kodshi. So Rabbosai, listen to this. So Shitas, Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbosai, we reject this because we hold that Avodah Zarah is one of the Gimel Chamuros, and the Gimel Chamuros are all Yeharig Val Yavor. You have to give your life for them rather than violate them. Rabbosai, Rabbi Shmuel is a modified Shita. He says, yes, it is Yeharig Val Yavor. Only what? Only b'farhesya, only publicly. But I will say privately, Rabbi Shmuel paskins that if an akum comes to me privately and says, Silber, either worship Avodah Zarah or I'll kill you. And it's only me and him in the room. What's the halacha? I will say, what's the halacha? I should worship idolatry and not give my life. So I will say, watch this. So therefore, again, Ben Dama knew the shita of his uncle, that you could even be over on Avodah Zarah, ultimately to save your life. And therefore he felt over here, there's a mandate of V'chai Bohem, couple that with my uncle's shita, and therefore this Yaakov Ish Kfar Sachanya should be able to administer medicinal healing to me. Rabbi Shmuel says, my dear nephew, what you don't realize is that what's happening now, this is a Farhesia situation. This is a Farhesia. And because what's going to happen? This Yaakov Ish Kfar Sachanya Rabbosai is going to make this into what? If he heals you, he's going to make this into a coup for his Avodah Zarah. He said, wasn't me, it was my Avodah Zarah. Therefore, Rabbosai, this takes on an Avodah Zarah dik atone to it. And because this is Befarhesia, ultimately accepting healing from this individual is prohibited. Rabbi Shmuel holds Rabbosai that we only say that you could worship Avodah Zarah if it's Betzina. But if it's Befarhesia, where there's an element of Chil Hashem, as we'll see in more in tomorrow, ultimately, again, it has to be Yehorek Va'al Yavor. All right, we'll stop over here. Again, we're not finished with this sugya. We'll see more of it tomorrow. Shkoyach.